of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You know, the verses there say that Jesus Christ loved Lazarus, and he loved Mary, and he loved Martha. Yet they were all going through some sort of suffering. They were suffering in different ways. I don't know about you, I'm sure that each and every one of us, we go through some kind of suffering in our lives, and I'd like to pose this to you. What's it like to be loved by Jesus Christ even when you're suffering? Loved through suffering. First question we want to ask is, does God allow Christians to suffer? God's a good God. Jesus Christ is a good Savior. Does he allow Christians to suffer? Well, I don't think that anyone with an honest reading of the Bible would look there and say, well, no, Jesus would never allow his children to suffer. He would never allow anything bad to come in their lives or any kind of tragedy or anything to come into their lives, because that's simply not true. I mean, one reading of Job, and you'll find out that Job was a righteous man, but yet God allowed Satan to come in and bring an enormous amount of suffering into his life. Yes, God allows his people, his Christians, his children to suffer. But if God allows his children to suffer, does that mean that he doesn't love his children anymore? God has allowed this thing to come into your life or my life or the life of these people that we read about here. Does that mean that, well, his favor is off of you? He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't care for you anymore. His hand of favor is off of you because he has allowed suffering to come into your life. Is that the case? Well, here we have a story about a family that Jesus Christ loved. We have a brother named Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha in this chapter right here. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ loved Mary and Lazarus and Martha. We find that in verse number 5. They were all close friends. I mean, they knew each other intimately. They had a great close relationship, but one of those friends was extremely sick. And that's Lazarus. And Jesus Christ has just left Jerusalem. He's left his confrontation with the Pharisees and their rejection of him. And now he makes his way down to Beth Arbra, where John had been baptizing. And Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived in the little town of Bethany. And Lazarus is sick. And they're going to send for Jesus Christ. Look, Jesus, we have this problem. Our brother, that man that you know, that man that you love, look, he is sick. You've got to do something. You've got to come quick. Look, it's an emergency. He doesn't come right away. And you'd think that he would, but he didn't. And he waits 2 full days to come. It's not that he didn't hear. Look, he heard the request. He knew that Lazarus was sick, and he didn't come for 2 days. And this upsets the sisters. Read later on in the chapter that, look, Jesus, you should have been here. If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. You're upset. And of course, you probably would be too if it would have been your brother that was dying. Natural reaction. But Jesus Christ had a different purpose in the suffering of Lazarus that they didn't know anything about. And just because he's letting Lazarus suffer, just because this thing has come into his life, doesn't mean that he doesn't love Lazarus or the sisters anymore. That's not what that means. Doesn't mean that he's taken his love off of them. You know, each and every one of us, if you are a saved individual here today, if you've been born again, you are in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. We read about the relationship that Jesus Christ had with his disciples. And the Bible says in John chapter 13 and verse number 1 that he was leaving to go to his Father. And it says about his disciples that he loved them unto the end. He never took his love off of them all the way to the end. No matter what happened in their life, no matter what Peter did, he loved them unto the end. Same thing could be said about you and I here today. He's going to love you to the end. He's not going to take his love off of you. And I'll go further than that. Jesus Christ calls us friends. He's our friend. Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples and he says that I no longer call you servants, but I call you now friends. Because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. The servant's just there. He says, but I have revealed everything to you of my Father, and I now call you friend. Do you notice that Jesus Christ never called the Pharisees his friend? A lot of times he spoke to them in parables, and he wasn't going to reveal anything to them because they weren't his friends. But you and I are friends with Jesus Christ. And he does love us, and he's going to love us to the end, but sometimes God allows us to suffer. And not all suffering is because of sin. Now, some might be. Sometimes our suffering is caused by things that we do against God. He's going to allow that to happen. We can come under the fatherly displeasure of God at times. But not all suffering is because of sin. And that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love us anymore. But what does it mean? What are the implications of our sufferings? Suffering. Does God or Jesus Christ have a greater purpose in our suffering? What's it like to be loved by Jesus Christ through our suffering? Well, I'd like to tell you first thing this morning is that being loved by Jesus Christ through our suffering means that you have a place that you can go to, a person that you can go to in that suffering. We find that in verse number 3. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. We can go to Jesus Christ in our sufferings. And the sisters are seeking after Jesus Christ in their suffering and in the suffering of their brother. They had a place that they could go to. It's a serious situation. This is not something, well, he's got a cold and he needs help getting over this cold. No, it's something that's very serious. It's a dire situation and they're not calling for the doctors anymore. They're not going to say, hey, call the doctor. He's really sick. No, they say, he's really sick. Go get the Savior. Amen. Go get Jesus Christ. Because the doctors have already exhausted all of their resources. They've already done everything that they could. And when you get to that point, God is your only hope. That's all you're going to have. Because sometimes the doctors just can't fix it. Now you ought to go to God all the time. At the first, everything. God ought to be your first stop when you need help. But sometimes you're going to need a direct intervention from God. Now, doctors are good. I'm all for doctors. Go to the doctor if you're sick. But sometimes the doctors, they can only go so far. And then you're going to have to go to God. And I'm sure that Lazarus had already been to the doctor. He's already exhausted all of his resources. He's already done everything that he could. And he's about to pass away. Look, go get Jesus Christ. He's all that we have. And they're concerned for their brother. And they're going to Jesus Christ on the behalf of their brother. They're worried. They need some help. Go talk to Jesus. In your suffering, you have a friend that you can go to for help and for comfort. Look, some situations are out of your control. They're out of the hands of the professionals. There's nothing else that anyone can do. And you're going to realize that, look, all I have is God. All I have is Jesus. That's what happens in life. About 4 years ago, my father-in-law got sick. They found out that he had cancer in his stomach. And he went to the doctor. The doctors tried to do everything that they could. They examined him. And it was very advanced cancer. They took him in. We went up to Wichita, Kansas. They were there. They were going to do surgery. They took out his entire stomach. Took it all out, but there was nothing that they could do. That tumor continued to grow. And they couldn't help him anymore. I mean, the doctors, they tried and they worked and they just could not do anything else. And you know what? You know what they did? Send in the chaplain. How's your relationship with God? Because that's all he had. And thankfully, he did know God. But when the doctors have exhausted all of their resources, you have a friend that you can go to that cares about you. And when all else fails, you can go to God. You can go to Jesus Christ, because one of those days, that's all you're going to have. Now, you might think that you've got it all figured out right now, or you've got plenty of things that you can turn to, but look, one of these days, that's all you're going to have is God. You're not going to have the doctors. Family can't go with you through some kind of suffering. Look, it's only going to be God that you're going to have. Peter wrote to suffering saints, those who were being tested by fiery trials, and they were being persecuted for their faith. You know what he said? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God is with you through your suffering, and we have a friend. Look, friends may fail you, brothers may forsake you, people will forsake you, but the Bible says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what that stick word means? Sticketh closer than a brother? It's right there. He never leaves. He's never going to forsake you. He's always there. And we can be content in every situation of life because we have somebody who's there with us all the time. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:5 says, look, don't be covetous of what other people have. Don't live your life envious of what other people have. Because you've got something that is so rich and so great and so wonderful. There's no reason for you to live your life being envious of what people have. You know what that was? That was our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you have a friend that will never leave you nor forsake you. All of those riches, all of the things that you have are going to turn to dust one of these days. Bank account's going to go dry. House is going to turn to dust. Everything that you have will be gone, but you have Jesus Christ. And He will never leave you. We have a friend. We don't have to worry or be afraid or be envious because Jesus is there. But how about in the sufferings of others? We have somebody that we can go to when we are concerned about others. There's Martha and Mary, and they are worried about Lazarus, and they are saying, man, he's sick. Let's go to Jesus and let's talk to him about our brother. They were going to intercede for him in prayer. Do you ever go to Jesus Christ and talk to Jesus Christ about others? Do you ever intercede for others in prayer? Or is your prayers mostly about you? It's mostly about, I'm concerned about me. Look, we need to be concerned about others and go to Jesus Christ and go to God in prayer when we are concerned about others. Well, you know what that'll do? It'll help you to take your eyes off of yourself. So many times we're just looking at us. Well, what about us? You know, in Exodus chapter number 32, Moses goes and intercedes for an entire nation in prayer. God might put some needy people in your path or my path. Why? To make us mature, to make us grow in the faith. Because that's a sign of maturity. When you're not all worried about you, but you're worried about somebody else. And you go into God in prayer for somebody else and not for you. God could have put Moses in that situation so he can learn how to intercede in prayer, learn how to pray for somebody else in prayer. That'll help to mature you really quick. You ever intercede for others in prayer? I can tell you this morning that Jesus Christ, he hears our problems. He knows all about it. We find that in verse number 4. It says, when Jesus heard that, he hears. Find that again in verse number 6. When we go to Jesus Christ in our suffering, Jesus Christ hears our pain. And Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he was going to do, but he's listening. Okay, I hear you. I'm listening to you in prayer. Jesus Christ is not somebody who's far off. He's not somebody who's disconnected from his creation or from his children. No, Jesus Christ knows exactly what's going on. To be loved through suffering is to have access to Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ to hear us through that suffering. But what about his perspective? To be loved through suffering by Jesus Christ is to examine his perspective, because his perspective is going to be much different than ours. The way Jesus Christ views our problems is going to be different. Verse number 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, well, wait a second, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. Jesus knew exactly why this situation was coming into their lives. He was not taken by surprise at all. But his response and his perspective was much different than Mary's and Martha's. Mary and Martha are like, wait a second. I mean, this is a dire situation. Jesus views this situation as one that's not going to end in final death for Lazarus. That's not why Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is not sick, Mary and Martha, so your lives will be made miserable. That's not why he's sick. Jesus Christ viewed Lazarus' sickness as bringing glory to God. That's how he viewed Lazarus and his sickness. He has a perfect understanding of their suffering. But how did Mary and Martha view this? They said, man, this is terrible. This is a horrible blow to our lives. This is a dire situation. It's devastating. This is serious, Jesus. You need to come do something right now. Look, part of our world is being taken away. Our world is crumbling around us, Jesus. That's the way they looked at it. I thought, man, this is horrible. Can I tell you that their view was very short-sighted? The way they saw, they said, man, the here and now is what we're worried about right now, Jesus. Our brother is sick. He is about to die. And that's all we can see. He's suffering right now. Very short-sighted. You know what their eyes were upon? Their eyes were upon themselves. And that's natural. That's the way that people think. People only look at themselves most of the time and what they can see. Their view was upon themselves and not upon God, and they did not understand the view that Jesus Christ had, none whatsoever. View was much differently than what Jesus has, but Jesus Christ, as we learned about in Sunday school, sees the whole picture. He saw the whole thing. By the way, I didn't hear the conversation that Dad and Jacob had. These are things that I see here in the text. But can I tell you this morning that perspective matters? The way that you view things is very, very important, because Jesus Christ knows why everything happens. We see the omniscience of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows why those things are going to happen. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is catching Jesus Christ by surprise. He's not saying, man, oh, man, did not see that coming. Whew, what am I going to do now? I got to figure something out. Caught me off guard. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. Jesus Christ knows everything. Jesus Christ knew all men, it says in his earthly ministry, John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. No one had to tell anything to Jesus Christ about men, because he He knew what was in man. He knows what makes them tick. He knows why they do the things that they do. He knows what they think. He knows their motives. He knows their attitudes. He knows all things. And there is not one genius on the entire planet that's going to outsmart Jesus Christ, outsmart God. And he knows all events. He knows everything that is going to happen. There's not one event on the face of the planet that is perplexing Jesus Christ at all. He's not looking down in America and seeing the things that are happening now, and he's just perplexed about it. Not a bit. Not worried about it. I'm sure it's displeasing to him. But it did not catch him by surprise. So Jesus doesn't look at the news of Lazarus and think, oh, I wonder why this is happening. What am I going to do now? But when we come to Jesus Christ in our suffering, he knows exactly why it's happening. He's got the perfect perspective. And you know what this ought to do? This ought to give us some great comfort and great rest when we come to Jesus Christ and he already knows everything and he knows why it's happening. We can rest assured that, look, Jesus Christ sees the whole picture. He knows exactly why it's happening. He sees the beginning from the end. Some things you and I, we see as a curse. We think it's horrible. Jesus Christ views as a blessing. Views as a blessing. You know what that means? It means we can trust God. We can trust Jesus Christ. You know, I wouldn't want to worship a God that didn't know what was going on. I wouldn't want to worship a God that was unsure of the future. I wouldn't want to worship a God that was unsure why things were happening the way that they were. I wouldn't want to worship a God like that, and I don't.
Right.
I don't. And it gives me great confidence and great courage and great comfort to pray to the God of the universe that knows even in our bad times, even in our sufferings, he knows exactly why those things are happening.
Amen.
I can trust him. I know that Jesus Christ is going to do what's right and what's best for me in every situation of life. And Mary and Martha, their perspective is very limited. They can't see past themselves. But you know that Jesus Christ's perspective is not limited. He knows everything. That's why Paul can write to the Romans, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, to people who are suffering because of their faith. And he can say, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Those that are loved by God can trust him because of his understanding. He knows exactly what's going on. And you know what? He's going to respond. He's going to respond. Did you know that being loved through suffering means that Jesus Christ is going to answer you? He's going to answer your prayers. And it may not be in the time frame that you wanted. It may not be in the way that you wanted him to answer. But he is going to answer, and he's going to answer in the right way. And sometimes being loved through suffering means that you have to wait. And I have to wait. When Jesus Christ hears that Lazarus is sick, he doesn't leave right away. He doesn't turn on the sirens and say, okay, get down there, code red, go. No. He says, I'm going to wait a couple of days. I'm not leaving right now. And, you know, his understanding and his perspective of the problem prompts him to respond in this way. Yeah, I know what's going on. I know exactly what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. And so I'm going to wait for a couple of days before I leave to go down there. He didn't rush down there. No, he waited 2 days. Now, he could have left right away. Okay, let's go. Let's go. No, but he waits 2 full days. And sometimes in our suffering, Jesus Christ is going to make us wait. You're not going to answer our prayer immediately. How would you have felt if you would have been Mary and Martha? If you would have been in their shoes, how would you have felt? You know that Mary and Martha, they knew that Jesus Christ wasn't lacking in ability. They knew that Jesus Christ had the power and the ability to heal their brother. That's why they're going there. They had experienced the miracles that Jesus Christ had performed. They probably knew about the man in John chapter number 9 that Jesus Christ has already healed of blindness. They already knew all about that. Okay, go get Jesus. Have him heal our brother. They knew about the reputation of Jesus. They knew about the ability. They knew all about them. They had a special relationship with Jesus Christ. Martha had anointed the feet of Jesus Christ and wiped his feet with her hair and worshiped at his feet. Surely, if we're this close, Jesus, you can do it. You can come now. But he doesn't come. He waits 2 full days. And they're very upset about that. Especially when Lazarus dies. He lets him die. And they say, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But he doesn't go. Sometimes Jesus waits to answer our prayer. Now we know that Jesus Christ has the ability, don't we? We believe that Jesus Christ is all-powerful and almighty. We worship before his feet. We come and we sing about him. We come and we preach about him. We teach about him. We read about him. We adore him. We love him. We talk about him. We tell others about Jesus Christ. But then he makes us wait. Waiting is part of the human experience. And nobody hates waiting more than me. Nobody. And more importantly, waiting is all a part of the Christian experience. It's all about waiting. You know, we're told to wait for Jesus Christ to come back. Jesus Christ told the believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven. We're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. One of the last prayer in the Bible is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you know that Jesus Christ hasn't answered that prayer yet? It's been 2,000 years, and he still hasn't come back. But yet we're waiting for him. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. We are earnestly expecting the resurrection. We're earnestly expecting to have that new body. We're earnestly expecting to get out of this old, decrepit body. We're waiting for all of that. We're patiently waiting. A part of waiting and being loved through suffering. It's just waiting, isn't it? That's what it's like to be loved through suffering. Jesus Christ is not going to come back right now, this minute, solve all your problems, just give you everything you want, everything you need. You're never going to have to suffer again. That's not going to happen. Not now, not tomorrow. I wish he would. But you know what? There's a purpose and a reason for Jesus Christ letting us suffer. You know, if Jesus Christ just cured all of our problems and we had no more problems, we would never grow. We would never mature as saints. There's a reason for our suffering, but what I want you to leave with this morning is that Jesus, just because Jesus doesn't answer right away doesn't mean that he doesn't hear. You may think, well, he's just not hearing. No, he does hear. Jesus felt their pain. He's not disconnected from the things that you and I are going through. Read in verse number 36 of the chapter. It says that Jesus wept. No, he felt it. He felt it. Do you know that Jesus Christ hears yours? And we can still go to him in prayer? Even though you're suffering? The psalmist had the same thought in Psalm chapter 18, verses 3 to 6. He says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me about, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. He hears you. Even though you're suffering. What else can we learn? We can learn that the glory of God is the most important thing in every situation of life. Jesus Christ has a reason for our suffering. And that purpose was for the glory of God. That was the reason for the suffering. You see, the world and the universe does not revolve around me. And it doesn't revolve around you. Jesus Christ did not put us on this earth just so we can fulfill every desire that we have. He didn't put us on this earth so that we can be our own little kings and just have everything that we need. No, the reason that He put us on this earth is for His glory. God is the center of the universe. Everything comes from Him. It does not come from us. And everything is for the glory of God. So what must we do? Well, for one thing, we can make our perspective line up with God's perspective. Think the way that God thinks. Have a God-centered perspective, not a man-centered perspective. It's so hard for us. It is so hard for us. We could read through the Bible many times and think, well, this is all about me and just grab everything. And really, no, it's not. It's about the glory of God. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. Have a God-centered perspective. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to think the way that God thinks. But so many times we don't. You're suffering here this morning? I don't know. But view your suffering in light of the love of God. Don't think, well, since I'm suffering, God must be taking His love away from me. No, maybe it's an extension of His love towards you. Could be. Could be. View your suffering in light of the love of God. Because so many times, the things that come into our life, the suffering, the problems, the trials, all of those things are meant to draw you to God. He's trying to call you to Himself. Look, come a little closer. Call upon me. I know you're having problems. Come to me. That's the reason that we suffer. And we should seek to glorify God in everything. That's our sole purpose for existing. Our sole purpose for existing is to bring glory to God. It is not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you are saved this morning? Are you right with God? Are you suffering today? Are you bitter about your suffering? You're mad at God. You're angry with God because of your suffering. Maybe there's a higher purpose in your suffering. Maybe it's that. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, look, believe today. Go to Him today. Repent today and come to Him. That's the only hope that you have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank you that you know all things, even why we suffer, even why things happen in our lives. You know all about it. You have a reason for it. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to get discouraged, not to run away from it, not to quit upon you, Lord, but to reach out to you, to be drawn closer to you in every situation of life, no matter what it might be. God, help us to bring glory and honor to you in every situation of life. Thank you, God. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.